Yes, indeed, friends. Welcome back to the Buffer Podcast. It's so good to be with you. It is Friday, May 21st in the year 2021. And my name is Tony Tone.
And I'm Joel Krausart.
We had a lot of fun last week on this podcast. And we hope that if you can do one thing for us, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor.fm. Please leave a review. So rate and review. And then check out last week's podcast talking about all things baseball movies. And Joel, I think the feedback with special guests J.D. Scholten and Mike Bridenstine, the feedback is probably need to do a part two because there's so many more baseball movies.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the things that worked so well is that the four of us don't just watch the top four baseball movies that everybody else has watched. Like we were all four such baseball fans, so we've seen so much. So I went back and watched The Battered Bastards of Baseball after JD brought it up, and I had never seen it or heard of it. It's great. It's so good. And so I think we hit a home run, if you will, to bring on two just real baseball history experts. And I can't thank JD and Mike enough for doing that. And follow JD on Twitter. He's had a great week talking about his passion project right now, which is the antitrust organization that he's working with. And Mike's podcast, Hunk with Mike Bridenstine, just knocks it out of the park this week again. He's just it's so good. He had Brooks Wheelan on last week too, and I think the thing is he gets some of the biggest names in comedy to be on his podcast. He's got a great interview with Matt Dwyer this week as well. Matt is a Chicago comic who now is out in California, but he started working at Second City when he was 15 years old. Wow. And he was there, you know, as a kid, as like an intern and working at Second City with Farley and Odenkirk and Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert and Kristen Wiig, all those people. So he worked at Second City with all of those people, Adam McKay. So he's been there. He was there during some of the heyday years of Second City. And so his interview with Mike was great. So Mike, a great friend to come on our pod and help us out. But Mike's the real deal. And I think that those of us who are from Muscatine and maybe grew up with Mike forget that there's a lot of cool people from our town doing a lot of cool stuff. And he's definitely one of them.
Yeah, the guy is a wealth of baseball knowledge. And I hope that you'll go discover that episode of The Buffer, again, released last Friday, May 14th. If you love baseball movies, baseball is in full swing from Major League down to the minor leagues. We're not too far from the Quad Cities, which has the Quad Cities River Bandits. And I can't wait to go watch minor league baseball. The only hat that I wear is a River Bandits hat. Besides, I have one of the Chicago Cubs World Series hats that I've
got to get you a Muskie baseball hat now. We got to get you. Yes. We got to get you one of those.
That's a good call. But yeah, it's really fantastic to see how many baseball movies there have been released over the years. And then just the different lists from that podcast. It's not what everybody thought. I think everybody, you know, if you're thinking, oh my gosh, it's a baseball movie podcast, it's probably Field of Dreams, Sandlot. But it was really, you know, several movies off the beaten path, or not just movies, by the way, you know, documentaries and TV series. So I just hope that people will check that out, because it was enjoyable to do. And then it was enjoyable to listen to. So that made me feel like we've got to do it again. And I think that both JD and Mike would say yes in a heartbeat.
I think they had a good time. And I've gotten some really good feedback from listeners, as you were saying. So keep those coming. Don't forget to follow us at The Buffer Battle on Twitter. And you also can follow us on Facebook as well. We should probably get an Instagram account too at some point, but that's more your world than mine. I personally don't have an Instagram account.
What I like about it, I mean, obviously Instagram is owned by Facebook, but it does seem to be a little less dramatic. So for people out there that maybe are kind of overwhelmed with whether it's politics or COVID or whatever, Instagram is literally, at least in my experience, it's pictures and videos. So you could check that out.
Speaking of pictures and video, like COVID is, we're starting to get the vaccine rolled out. Movies are coming out and hitting theaters. People are going back to the theaters, at least here in our part of the world. And then there's just been some great stuff hitting the streaming services too right now. We're getting amped up for summer movie season.
And I really am so surprised that, like, if I'm being honest, that we're going to have a quote unquote summer popcorn movie, you know, those big films. So just to touch on a couple of things, something that came out, well, there's a couple of things that came out last week, but one of those, well, actually two of those are in this week's battle, but I'll just mention one that I haven't seen, which is Spiral from the Book of Saw. I don't know where you stand on the Saw movies, Joel. So, there's seven of them.
So I saw Saw one.
You've seen first, Saw?
I've seen Saw, and I sometimes sell seashells by the seashore. But no, I saw Saw in the theater in college, and I think I went with a girl. I think it was one of those friend zone dates. Like, that's kind of what I'm thinking looking back at it.
That's amazing.
And so I saw Saw. And I'm not usually into the gore genre of movie, but if that movie was twisty enough and it was plot positive enough, I mean, there was enough good plot that I was able to get past the gore. That twist at the end,
oh, that's brilliant,
is one of the best movie twists I've ever seen.
I think that,
but then that, and I think that I saw Saw 2 and I saw Saw 3. Mm-hmm. And then I think I tapped out. I was just done. It quite got to that first level, so I didn't see any of the remaining Saws.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything with like Saw 3D. So my good friend and listener of the podcast, Mark, who was at one point the director of the Niobe Zoo and my roommate, he was a big Saw guy. So, you know, when you have friends, you kind of have friends that'll drag you to movies. Right. You know, I've been guilty of doing that. I think everybody has that friend.
You made me see It with you,
right? That was so scary. And then
6-year-old, you know, sitting in front of us.
Oh, previous guests on this show, like our friend Ben Nitzel, you know, loves he won't see the Fast and the Furious. He won't see scary movies, but he'll make you go see Fast and the Furious 9 or Furious 9 or whatever it's
I will
called.
Say that the crew that we went and saw Skyscraper with at midnight was a blast, and it was kind of that Fast and Furious crew. Ben was a part of it. So there are some movies that, depending on the crew you're seeing it with, it'll carry. And I think that's the way that seeing Saw was the first two, 1920. It's a good time. Now, yeah, I think as a 39-year-old man, I'm not chomping at the bit to spend 2 hours watching Spiral from the Book of Saw.
No. And I think, like, did Chris Rock's involved with that? I don't know, I can't speak to it because
I really don't know much about it. Yeah, I know it came out.
I won't see it like right away, but it'll probably be something that I check out. And just a couple of other new releases coming out next week. Coming out. Is it next week or today? I need to check my notes.
I think it's today. Are you talking about Army of the Dead?
Army of the Dead. Yeah. So this is like Zack Snyder. It's Dave Bautista. It's zombies.
I'm out.
And it looks wild. Wild.
See, so this was actually going to kind of come up. I don't want to step on my confession, because my confession kind of ties into this one a little bit.
Perfect.
But yeah, I'll save that for a confession. But I'm out.
A couple other things coming up. A Quiet Place 2.
On A Quiet Place 2.
And Cruella are both May 27th, which would be your Memorial Day weekend. So there's two big movies. How good was A Quiet Place?
Love
Unbelievable.
It. Love it. Don't and written by guys who are from our area, yeah, up in Bettendorf. Guys I met Crazy. When we were in college.
Like, isn't that the best when people can... A Quiet Place was phenomenal. I don't recommend seeing it with someone that's pregnant. Like, I took my wife, and there's some heavy stuff in there with pregnancies.
Right.
But just so good. The sequel looks great. And then Cruella.
I'm such an Emily Blunt fan, too. She's one of my favorite actors.
She's hard to not like.
It's almost easy to see. You kind of have to hate how great she and John Krasinski are as people. And then they just happen to be married to each other. And it's just.
Yeah, they're just.
Doesn't seem fair. Hopefully it stays solid.
Sometimes you get those power couples in Hollywood that you're just like, okay, this doesn't seem like it's gonna last. Like J-Lo and Ben Affleck,
they're back together though,
but like, is it gonna work out? Maybe it'll work out now because of all the experiences they've had, but back in the day I just remember thinking like like, come on, Ben. Like, not that he's better than J-Lo, but it just seemed like, I don't know, man. I'm not trying to say that J-Lo's high maintenance. I think if anything, he's probably high maintenance too. So maybe it's a match made in heaven. They're both, I mean, just like,
he can't be more high maintenance than A-Rod. I mean,
but it, That's also true. A Quiet Place 2 looks amazing. Cruella looks really good. I'm sure that'll be a huge hit at the box office.
Will it though? I mean, okay, so here's the thing.
So
I have little kids. None of them have shown any interest in any of the 101 Dalmatian movies. Do we need the Cruella de Vil origin story? Well, I guess that's my question. And I guess you throw Emma Thompson and Emma Stone in it, so there's your chance, because you put two Academy Award nominated actors, winning actors in it, and I'm in. I'm an Emma Stone fan. I'll watch it, but yeah. I'm not going to pay the premier membership on Disney Plus. And I'm also probably not going to go see it in the theater. I know we're going to a vacation house for Memorial Day. So if it rains or something, maybe we'll go, you know, when we can't, if we can't do something outside.
I don't think it's not a kid's movie. That's my,
PG?
This is,
if it's on the Disney Plus platform, it can't be higher than PG-13. Can it? Isn't that their,
it's a good question.
Their cornerstone of ethics?
I'm looking to see what the rating is. I can't
you
imagine.
You can't go R-rated Cruella de Vil origin story. This isn't the Joker.
It's PG-13, Joel.
Okay, but that's probably just for bullying and violence, is my guess.
I'm just here to tell you, I think this is designed for that. A little bit older Disney fan.
I've got a 10-year-old, remember, so that might, I mean.
Yeah, but I think like, and this is not a very fair comparison, but I think of when I took my kids to see the sequel to Incredibles, the amount of people that were there that were between the ages of like, let's just say 13 to 19, I was astonished. Like, we had the kids and all these other people were like, but then you have to think about when the original Incredibles came out. I'm just going to mention a couple quick releases that are coming out, and then we're going to get into the battle. The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It is June 4th in theaters and on HBO Max. And then In the Heights is June 11th on HBO Max and in theaters. And again, those will probably pop up on the future episodes of The Buffer, I'm imagining.
Right.
I don't know if I would put The Conjuring and In the Heights in the same
podcast. I don't know that you can put In the Heights against anything. I think that might be when we just talk about, because I know that it won't win any battle unless you blows your mind, which I promised myself that I wouldn't go too musical heavy this episode, since we found our way talking musicals last time. So.
Well, I feel like it's something that I'll check out just because I watched the trailer again.
It's good. It's a good trailer.
I'm more interested than I thought. So, and if I could see any more Dear Evan Hansen ads on TikTok, that would be great.
So, yeah, I sent you and Mike that message, and I've got some
thoughts. Is Ben Platt too old to play Evan Hansen in a movie?
So, well, and I think the...
And is that his name? Is Ben Platt?
Yeah, Ben Platt.
That's him,
and
right? Pitch Perfect?
Yeah, he's in Pitch Perfect. I actually saw him in the Book of Mormon in Chicago. Mm. Like, he's... So, I know some people who know him. I'll just put it that way.
Okay.
And I think that he's the most gifted Broadway singer of the last 20 years on the male side. And it's... Wow. So to answer your question, is he too old at 27 to be playing a 17-year-old? Probably, but they reverse CGI'd him, it looks like. So,
They Irishmaned him,
it looks like, in the trailer. It's either they did reverse CGI, because he looks like an awkward, like, 17. So it's either he cut weight and they did a great job costuming him, or they... reverse CGI'd him, because it's easy.
The fact that he's only 27 annoys me immensely, just so you know.
Like, he's like done what he's done and he's only 27.
Yeah.
Just
he should be way older than 27, in my opinion. I mean, I thought he was like,
so I can save some of this for that podcast, because we're gonna talk about it. So think of singing the Dear Evan Hansen character, like when the skateboarders were first trying to do the 900 spin in the X Games, and no one thought it could be done. He is essentially doing the 900 night in, night out. He did it nine shows a week for a year. I mean, he's a freak of nature. What he can do vocally is nuts. And Pashuk and Paul, who wrote the score for Dear Evan Hansen, which are the guys who did La La Land, and they did Greatest Showman, and their credits run up and down any musical of the last 10 years. They wrote something just special, and he, and that's why I'm excited about it. It's an important story too. I don't, well, again, we'll talk about it when it comes out in the, in September, but
all right, well, let's get into the buffer battle this week, which is going to
pick weird. What two, a weird week.
Weird yeah, this week. Is definitely strange. It's not that often, and I don't want to say it's not that often, but we do try to touch on newer releases, but these are two releases I would say that were very highly anticipated and have found themselves critically with maybe not the best reviews, which is a little surprising. But this week in the buffer battle, it's The Woman in the Window on Netflix versus female led films with Amy Adams in The Woman in the Window and Angelina Jolie in Those Who Wish Me Dead. And I want you to start to make the case for Those Who Wish Me Dead, because I have a couple comments on Angelina Jolie. And I just finished watching that last night, by the way. So it's still a little fresh.
So we'll start, we're going to do spoilers. So if you're listening and you haven't seen these and you really care, maybe pause, find these, watch them, and then come back. Cause we're going to do some spoilers. So for Those Who Wish Me Dead, I didn't read anything about it going into it. I just hit play. I didn't even read the synopsis, on HBO Max. I just hit play, and you know, it starts and it, you find yourself, you know, immediately in the air with smoke jumpers, which I'm 100% in on. Smoke jumping is one of the most intriguing professions, and I don't know why we haven't gotten that perfect smoke jumper movie yet. I know there have been a couple tries, and the one a couple years ago with the guy who plays Thanos. What's his name?
Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Josh Brolin.
That
was a great movie. I thought. And that was based on the true story. The smoke jumpers who lost their lives in one of the big fires of late. So I think that there's a really fertile ground for story with this, but they just kind of missed the boat on it a little bit, because you just find Angelina Jolie, who's kind of the commander of this, or she's the hot shot of this hot shot group, and was leading the way, and clearly there was a mistake, and she finds herself, you know, after a psych evaluation, grounded, if you will, and not in her normal role. And there's some, her ex-boyfriend is the sheriff, they're up in the mountains, I guess it was Montana. They never really were very descriptive as to what actual state they were in. We just know it was somewhere in the Pacific Northwest and in Big Sky country potentially. And so we see this scene of her training, and that they're swearing in the new smoke jumpers, and the sheriff tells them, you know, come on guys, don't go crazy today. And then we get the Maverick from Top Gun, crazy Buzz the Tower scene, where she's riding in the back of a pickup with her parachute on, and she busts open her parachute just to show, man, she's crazy. She'll do anything. And law be damned. And of course, her ex-boyfriend is the sheriff, who's now married in a survival school co-runner, and with who's now expecting a child. And then it takes us right to Jacksonville, Florida, or right to Clearwater Beach, Florida, or somewhere in South Florida, with your utility crew ringing the doorbell of a house down in Florida. And immediately, you know, something probably isn't going to go well. And then the house explodes as these people leave. So now it's set up. Okay, there's these two people who are hitmen. And then we find out that the house that explodes was a district attorney in Florida. And now we have the plot. The plot is there's a forensic accountant in Jacksonville with his son who now knows, because his boss, this district attorney, is dead. Well, clearly they unearthed some sort of money laundering, you know, misappropriation, financial crime. And we don't really know who is committing the crime. We just know that these are two hitmen out to take care of business. And this forensic accountant and his son now go on the road. They go on the run. And apparently are super easy to track. And there's a lot of holes in how it tracks. And they find themselves going, and so this forensic accountant's dead wife's brother is the sheriff in Montana, and so they're going off the grid to see their law enforcement family member. And of course the son is, you know, teenage, early adolescent, and clearly has some issues with dad and mom dying, which is totally normal. But the formula is very formulaic. I felt like I was watching Cliffhanger, to be totally honest. There was a lot of cliffhanger in this movie. And long story short, they end up in the mountains and the hitmen find them and they set up an ambush. They kill the forensic accountant. The son, though, has been given the sensitive information. And one thing that we learn in this movie is that creeks lead to rivers and rivers lead to towns.
That's right.
And so the kid is told. Sometimes
they lead to Angelina Jolie in the middle of the woods.
Yeah. So he finds Angelina Jolie, who's at this watchtower, the smoke tower. He goes to the river. She's down at the river. She runs him down because she sees a kid in the woods all by himself. Not supposed to go to the police. We're supposed to go to the news with this information. And so he doesn't trust adults, but she earns his trust. And eventually they're evading hitmen. And there's a lot of holes in this plot.
Yeah, it's kind of like
strange.
Yeah, the second half of Those Who Wish Me Dead is sort of like Angelina Jolie has all these like traumatic flashbacks from when they were in a fire and couldn't save a family, and then
she read the wind wrong, she read the fire wrong, and people died because they ended up,
and she has not aged a second. She looks, and maybe one of the top five jawlines ever in history, if we're giving out best jawline awards, like she looks fantastic. And I don't mean that in like a misogynistic way. I mean like she looks great. She totally is convincing in this role. I thought I was watching Lara Croft at a couple of moments because she's in great shape. She's leading.
So
even though her character has some flaws,
but was so good. And I don't mean chemistry. Like there was at no point where, so here's this beautiful woman. Here is this boy who is, they make reference to him, you know, kind of being into like girls in his class earlier, like he and his dad have a couple, you know, moments where they're talking about, you know, dating and things like that. And here is this boy who could view this woman like in a pinup way, and they don't, there's an immediate maternal child bond between these two, and I her chemistry with that kid, she felt so at home to me in that calming, soothing, motherly, trust me, you can trust me, I will protect you, you're safe with me. And I think that if she didn't have that ability, this movie wouldn't work at all. And it worked pretty well once that relationship started being the focal point of the movie. Once it was, this kid needs her, she actually needs him to prove to herself that she can take care of people and that she can overcome this mistake. You mentioned she got struck by lightning. That scene where they are alternating running through this open field, I Googled it. That is 100% accurate how you're supposed to traverse as a team in an open field at altitude, because the lightning's obviously going to try to strike the highest point. And if you're running together, it'll probably hit one of you and you'll both be affected by the shock. So if you alternate like that, if one person is struck, which she ends up getting struck, the other person is going to be there and available to help. So that was well done. I mean, I feel like this movie was pretty accurate. I mean, there wasn't a lot of totally sensational stunt work that you're just like, oh, there's no way she could survive that. There was like a skyscraper where you're like, there's no way.
Right.
Like there was a lot of practical effects that made sense to me in this movie.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I think, again, coming back to that cast, because that's, again, something that
Nicholas Holt was really good as
Nicholas Holt is. He's great. You'll remember him from Mad Max. And of course, he played, you know, Beast and X-Men. John Bernthal.
He's good. He was good.
He's great. And he's kind of like, I don't want to say, I mean, he's certainly not the lead in this, but he's just solid. I mean, you can't go wrong with John Bernthal. And then there's just kind of like, I don't want to say a random Tyler Perry appearance, but I didn't know he was in it.
He's just weird.
I didn't know who was in this. It's kind of like all of a sudden there's Tyler Perry as like this high level government official And then I was really impressed with Medina Senghor, who played John Bernthal's wife. Her character's name is Allison. She's 6 months pregnant. They have a survival school. And then in an instant, she becomes a total BA and defends herself so well against those hitmen.
I love the aerosol can into the fire to turn it into a flamethrower.
That was great. It was like bear spray or something.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, you're pointing it the wrong way. And she's like, am I? Such a good move.
Like, as many holes and like ridiculous moments, this is enjoyable. And once you realize that it's directed by Taylor Sheridan,
which have you watched Yellowstone at all?
So he's one of the co-creators of Yellowstone. I've seen like the first two episodes, but do you also know that he was also the writer of Tom Clancy's Without Remorse?
Yeah, no, I knew
which
that.
Which is just ironic. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that. So, but This is much better than Without Remorse.
Yeah. But I think he directs several episodes of Yellowstone, which I am in 100%.
Well, yeah, he's like director, executive.
Yeah, he's like the showrunner on it too. I mean, he's the guy.
He was also deputy Chief Hale on Sons of Anarchy,
right,
for like 2.5 seasons. So it's interesting to see just his development, you know, personally.
He can shoot. His director, he knows how to direct in these kind of picturesque environments. It's a beautifully shot movie. It's a very visually appealing film.
Yeah, he definitely loves his large set pieces. I don't know if this is the case of a movie with the wrong title, because when you think of, like, I'll be honest.
Well, it's adapted from a book, and I think Those Who Wish Me Dead is the title of the book. So
okay,
I see why they stuck with that title.
At first glance, my thought was horror movie. You look at the even just kind of like the poster for the movie is Angelina Jolie and that Finn kid. Finn Little, who plays Connor, and if you didn't know that it involved like forest fires and jump smoke, like at first glance I thought this is a horror movie, and I was happy to be wrong, because after having just got done watching The Woman in the Window, this was kind of refreshing that it wasn't it was kind of like, I don't want to say it's a cut and dry action film because there's a little bit of a story, but I was kind of happy. It was like a palate cleanser from The Woman in the Window.
And I think they were kind of going for almost like a No Country for Old Men kind of feel. And I think that's one of the reasons why you stick with the title, like Those Who Wish Me Dead, because it has a similar dramatic approach, like No Country that did. And I'm not comparing those two movies at all, because No Country is arguably one of the top 10 movies made in the last 20 years versus this, which is not. But it was still very entertaining. And I mean, you had some twists. Now, I don't know if it's because of the age that my children are. Watching this dad get gunned down in front of his son was like awful. Like, it affected me emotionally in a way I've never really experienced in a movie. And I'm not being hyperbolic. I have a 10-year-old son who we spend a lot of time in the car together right now, because we're driving to and from, you know, baseball games and travel games. And so we're spending a lot of just me and him time. And I really felt that part of this movie. And I don't know. So maybe that's one of the reasons I enjoyed it so much, because it did move me in a way that I haven't really experienced. I think just my personal fatherhood kind of got in my way a little bit. And then, you know, since we are spoiling this, you know, the sheriff character does make the ultimate sacrifice in the end. He does die in an attempt to draw the assassins away. And he was right on the cusp, you know, 3 months away from becoming a father himself. So there were some real emotional parts of the movie, which is not common for an action movie like this. And I think it was fitting, because Jolie really provides a good emotional performance too. Like, you believe her. She wasn't campy in this at all.
No, I think she did a great job. And, you know, not that I'm the ultimate Rotten Tomatoes guy, but Those Who Wish Me Dead, 61% from critics, 84% from audience. See it for yourself, HBO Max or in theaters, and then be your own critic. I think what's nice,
I think we have two movies here that have two leading actors who both happen to be women who are the real deal at their craft, and mm-hmm. we're not dealing with the best source material. But their performances didn't suffer, even though they didn't have the greatest sure. source material, because they're that good.
Well, and The Woman in the Window, which was my pick, is on Netflix. Again, adapted from a novel with the same name that was released in 2018. Just again, spoiler alert, the background, you know, Anna Faux is a child psychologist. She's living alone in this giant Manhattan brownstone apartment after
becoming separated. That was like the Huxtable house. Man, yeah, it was
the house
huge.
Plays the house. This is one of those movies where the house is like a character in itself, because it's just got a lot of like, it's just, I don't know, it's very interesting. So she's estranged from her husband. They talk on a daily basis. She's agoraphobic, suffers from agoraphobia. She doesn't leave the house. She's got like, you know, a psychologist coming in to see her. And then she's got just an affinity for keeping an eye on the neighbors across the street. A new family moves in. That's the Russell family. And then that's kind of where the story takes off. We also know that Anna, played by the great Amy Adams, is on a lot of prescriptions. She's mixing that with alcohol. Is she hallucinating? And that's kind of where it gets really interesting. So before I get into more of like the plot, I want to say, because I didn't know this, but the director of The Woman in the Window is Joe Wright. And all you need to know about Joe Wright is that he directed one of my favorite movies that I think is kind of a, I don't want to say it's kind of a sleeper because it was pretty critically acclaimed, but in 2009, The Soloist with Jamie Foxx and Robert Downey Jr. was one of those movies
You're
that like
You're the only person I've ever heard.
Face.
How have we not talked about this movie before?
Yeah.
We've known each other for what, 7 years? And I love that movie. We've never talked about that movie before.
It's one of those movies like, We talked about earlier, you have a friend that you go, so my friend Mark, who I mentioned, we used to go see a lot of movies. My then girlfriend, now wife, Casey, was included. We had this mutual friend, Claire, and I don't know who picked The Soloist, but I remember, admittedly, I don't think I was that excited, but it's a brilliant movie from 09, Jamie Foxx, Robert Downey Jr. But what I remember is how interesting it was shot. Like the cinematography was really well done. And that was by Seamus McGarvey. And I don't even know if Seamus did the cinematography on The Woman in the Window. I'm going to tell you in a second, but they both have the same director in common. And that is our guy, Joe Wright. So the cinematographer on The Woman in the Window is Bruno Del Bonel. And if I said that wrong, I apologize. But this movie is brilliantly shot. It is super eye appealing. There's a lot of different techniques, a lot of, you know, backlighting and shadows, and even some like animations. And long story short, Amy Adams' character, Anna Faux, starts to keep an eye on this Russell family. One night, Jane Russell visits Anna. They befriend one another. She also meets Ethan, the son, yada, yada, yada. One night, Anna witnesses what she appears to see Jane Russell get murdered in the house. And then it becomes kind of a, he said, she said, she's calling the police and claims that it was the husband. And by the way, another great movie with another great, a very well cast movie. So Gary Oldman is Alistair Russell.
So
Gary Oldman.
This was supposed to be a 2020 theatrical release, like big deal movie, because this is one of the last properties, I believe, right, that was part of the Sony Disney merger, and then it kind of fell through and Netflix was able to acquire it. So this was,
man,
they had a lot behind this. And I mean, Oldman, I mean, that's, he's so good. He's great in this movie too. And I know we seem like we're very complimentary of all these actors, and it's because they are so performance solid. And this movie clearly knows what it is, though. Even though I know it's, I had some issues with it, it was clearly wanted to pay homage to Hitchcock. It wanted to have, you know, I mean, I told you, I thought this was Rear Window, that there was just a different take on Rear Window, and it's not, but it's got some of those aspects to it. But it Wright clearly wanted you to think, you know, Hitchcock while you're watching this movie.
Yeah. And again, like, it's not perfect, but it's enjoyable. It's a thriller. It kind of keeps you guessing. It's Amy Adams, Gary Oldman, Anthony Mackie, Fred
Hechinger. A lot of Falcon, Winter Soldier crossover, though, yeah, in this movie.
Wyatt Russell shows up. Julianne Moore is Jane Russell. Jennifer Jason Leigh. So again, like, are there holes in the plot? Is it a little hokey at times? Sure. But long story short, so Anna manages to confirm, because what happens was she thought she met Jane Russell, but then it turns out they tried to say she met somebody else, and then Jane gets murdered, and it's revealed that Ethan is the killer, and he's trying to kill Amy Adams' character, Anna, and she ends up successfully taking care of Ethan, if you will, but not before taking like a little garden.
Oh my gosh, it was like a pitchfork, or it was like the three-pronged garden.
Yeah, like that was a handheld three-pronged garden. That was gruesome. Like, she took that in the cheek, and I've seen a lot. We were talking about Saw movies earlier. I've seen a lot of things on movies.
It was like Hostel. It was like a scene from Hostel where it's just maimed. Yeah. You're just maimed. This movie was pretty flawed, though. I mean, it's got a lot of issues in the execution. But again,
I think if you're looking at, could you put it on? If you just knew Amy Adams, Gary Oldman, Julianne Moore, would you go, okay? Well, we had this conversation a lot. Like, sometimes you just are trying to find content that's new or fresh or different, and you just see those names and you're like, okay. And I don't think you should feel bad when you give those people the benefit of the doubt, and then it's not a home run, or it's not going to be in your top 10 list of best things you've seen. But I think that The Woman in the Window is serviceable. But I agree. I think it falls short with respects to the buffer battle. I don't even, and this is my choice, I don't feel confidently putting it into the next round.
Well, I think a way to bring it kind of back to the baseball talk at the top of the hour, at the top of the episode, this is Michael Jordan playing for the Birmingham Barons. It's the best athlete, some of the best athlete on the planet, which I think you could put Gary Oldman and Amy Adams in the category of best actors in their space that they operate in. Putting them in a position where maybe it wasn't the best position for them to be super successful. So,
sure.
And we all will agree Michael Jordan was not a very good baseball player, but I think we'll all agree that you knew if you went to the ballpark, you had a good chance still of seeing him make a spectacular play. And that's kind of how I feel with this movie with Amy Adams. The movie had problems. I don't think that they were completely her fault, but there is a scene where she is videotaping her suicide note, and she's so good in that. I mean, honestly, one of the best monologues I've seen in a long time is that Amy Adams suicide note, and it's heavy, but she's kind of funny in it. Like, she brings some joy to what's ultimately the end of her life, and it's remarkably done. And Gary Oldman, man, is that guy scary when he wants to be. He's going to be the bad guy. You think he's going to be this monster, and he is, but he's not the real monster.
It's, you know, this movie kind of suffers from, does it set out to conclude, does it know who it wants to be, right? Is it a thriller? Is it a whodunit? Is it
I think it's
overtly inspired by Hitchcock and Keeping an Eye on Your Neighbors. And
I think it's a very talented, confused teenager that if you put, if you had more focus of what you actually are working with, you probably can be pretty special, but it wasn't focused. It was trying to be too much. There was too much, too many ingredients in the sauce.
And what's disappointing, because I know it's not going to advance in the buffer battle, like, this on paper and with this cast, I'm just going to say it, should be better than Those Who Wish Me Dead, which is enjoyable. It's fine. I'm probably not going to watch either of these again, but I wish that The Woman in the Window was better because I could easily see how close it is to being good, to being one of those movies that you would tell people. And again, watch it and enjoy it, right? If you're right. looking, it's serviceable, whatever. But as far as advancing in a battle on a podcast called The Buffer that battles pieces of content, I can't put it into the next round against Those Who Wish Me Dead, which I'm surprised saying because cast to cast, they're both strong. But man, I feel like that Amy Adams, Gary Oldman combo.
We should be talking. I feel like we should be talking together? About those two in an Academy Award nominated movie, and it's just not.
Yeah. So I guess you have a victory this week.
Nice.
With Those Who Wish Me Dead. Ooh. And Angelina Jolie.
Redemption so for picking Hardball is one of my favorite baseball movies last week.
So either way, you can't go wrong when you stream the latest content or support your local theater. We're going to take a break real quick on The Buffer, and we'll be right back to tell you our guilty pleasures. Hang on. All right, welcome back to The Buffer podcast. We are going to go headfirst into our Buffer guilty pleasures. Do you mind if I start? Because this is kind of like one of those... I can't take all the credit for my guilty pleasure because it's something that my wife just randomly has been watching. And part of me is worried, like, is she trying to tell me something because we just moved? I know that I'm a little bit of a hanger-oner of things.
No.
My guilty pleasure this week is Hoarders, which I don't even know if it's on Netflix. I don't even know if these are new episodes. My wife just kind of randomly started watching or rewatching Hoarders. And it's really depressing. Like I remember watching this when it was fresh on A&E. And there was always that like really good feeling at the end of Hoarders when they like clean out the house and like really help the people. But a couple of the episodes that I came into were not that. It's like the episode with like the dead cat in the place. And then like the people don't accept the help. So it was really kind of heavy. And then the whole time I'm thinking like, is she trying to infer that I'm a hoarder because I have four storage totes full of stuff that I don't use? And I've moved now four times. I don't know. So that's my guilty pleasure. It's Hoarders, and it's as mindless as it comes, I think.
I'll actually have to confess, and this is not my confession, but I've never seen an episode of Hoarders ever.
Well,
so and you haven't sold me on it yet because I don't need to see sad people be messy because I'm not a hoarder, but I'm not always the most best person to put things where they belong, and it drives my wife nuts. So I'm sure that if I watched Hoarders with my wife, she would be like, this is too close to home and I want a divorce. So I'm going to avoid bringing that into the house.
I think we both have young kids. We both have three kids under 10. Nothing's better than like a clean house. And then nothing's worse than the time you take to clean a house and how quickly your kids can right. come through and just be a tornado. And then you look at it and that was my house today. Like I'm off work a couple more days and I'm just thinking like, I don't want to spend time cleaning because they're just going to...
We just moved. Why last do I have night, to clean?
Last night, every single Lego was on the ground. And I'm not talking like the big Legos. I'm talking like the little pieces. Yeah. And I can't pick
red,
those up.
The little red round thing that's for like the headlights and the Millennium Falcon.
It was just too much. But yeah, so that's been my guilty pleasure. And it's not going to be that for long, I'll tell you that much. What do you have for the guilty pleasure this week?
My guilty pleasure is on Peacock.
Okay.
And it's the new Tina Fey, Meredith Scardino series, Girls 5 Eva. Holy smokes, is this show hysterical, Tony. It is great. It is so funny. 90s girl Spice Girls, like one hit wonder pop band who they're all old now. And yeah, Buzzy Phillips, Sarah Bareilles, who I'm a huge Sarah Bareilles fan. She's one of my favorite musicians of all time. I'm drawing a blank on one of the girls' names, but she's one of the Skylar sisters in the original cast of Hamilton. Paula Pell, she just kills. She steals every scene that she's in this show. So there's five girls. who their band is Girls 5 Eva, because they're going to be better than 4 Eva. And but one of the girls died in an infinity pool accident. So she has a memorial bench. And so the bench is in front of there. It's so good. Sarah Bareilles and her brother, they own a restaurant. And how the show plot point gets rolling is a rapper samples their song from like 1999 and they end up getting asked to be on Fallon like as live backup. And now they're trying to reboot the band and have a renaissance of Girls 5 Eva. And Buzzy Phillips is this, you know, socialite wannabe. She comments she auditioned for Real Housewives 4 times and didn't get it. And her husband is played by Andrew Rannells, who is from the Book of Mormon and couldn't be gayer. And he's a news broadcaster, but he lives in Florida. And there's a plot point about, you know, there's a moment where she gets a cameo. Like they're commenting that she never sees her husband or talks to her husband. And she walks in and she had purchased a cameo of her husband, like say talking, like, so she couldn't even get him on FaceTime. She had to pay for it on cameo. So it's vintage, you know, Meredith Scardino, who did Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. It's that kind of humor. I'm a big fan. I love Tina Fey. Mean Girls is one of my favorite movies. It's great. It is so good. It's hard to get my wife to watch TV because she just in her mind has so much going on. And if she's going to take time to sit quietly, we're either going to watch This Is Us together or she's going to be reading her book. I turned this on and she kind of, the ears perked up. And so she's been watching it with me. So if anything, what makes it such a rewarding guilty pleasure is it's something besides Top Chef and This Is Us that I can share with my wife. It's kind of a good sitcom, to watch. And so I'm a big fan.
It's right up my alley. I mean,
have you watched any of the episodes yet?
No, but I love Tina Fey and
so good.
Like that Renee Elise Goldsberry just did a concert too far from us. And she's like really talented. And even though admittedly I'm not like a big musical fan, nobody loves 90s pop music. I'll tell you this right now, as somebody that DJs weddings on the side, Spice Girls Wannabe is never... It always goes over well. I've been DJing weddings for 15 years. I could play, and I will play, Spice Girls Wannabe at the last 3 weddings that I'm doing this year.
Which he just gets the bridesmaids crazy on the dance floor. No,
I don't think there's anybody, like, show me. And of course, there's going to be somebody that's like, that was the worst song ever. Why are you playing
Spice Girls? We need some more Miley. Is that my pissed off drunk lady at a wedding impersonation? Is that as good as my boss did?
It's pretty good, but nobody ever hates the Spice Girls, and that Wannabe is just a classic. So I will absolutely check out Girls 5 Eva.
My other guilty pleasure is just rewatching the Catchphrase Comedians sketch from Saturday Night Live, and I think we don't appreciate Boston Powers enough. Seth Meyers as Boston Powers.
Those sketches, that is such a
beef jelly.
It's so good. I'll just say, if you're the person that hasn't seen SNL in a while, Keegan-Michael Key hosted last weekend. The parody they did,
Michael Jordan one was so Michael good.
Jordan's The Last Dance was incredible. The Muppet sketch was so good, and Keegan-Michael Key is just, again, the guy is so talented. Seems like he's such a genuinely good person.
Have you ever watched Brain Games on Disney Plus that he's the host of?
No.
That's a fun one with the kids. It's great. It's real science. Like, it's real brain science. It's fun. It's kind of one of those things that you don't mind your kids binge watching because they're actually learning crap while they're doing it. So
I'm going to have to check that out. All right, we're going to jump feet first into the buffer confessions. So we're going to open the door and let you into our trust tree, the confessional, if you'll have it.
Confessions.
I ain't seen it. So I'll let you start since I started the guilty pleasures. But I'm a little disappointed in myself with my confession this week. I'll just say
I would have not. I would have probably been in a similar sin to confess had I not popped the cherry on Goodfellas this past weekend, because I knew it was coming up on our, one of our favorite podcasts that we listen to, The Rewatchables, and I realized I had never seen Goodfellas, and so I watched that. So I can't confess that I've never seen it, because I have seen it now. And so my confession...
I won't give you the business, because... And I hope that you agree, Goodfellas is phenomenal.
It was great. It was great. And it's one of those phenomenal movies where, like, we kind of talk about the confessional being, it's a, something that you know enough about, you know, tangentially, that you can fake your way that you have actually seen it. And I've heard that, you know, you kind of insult them a little bit. You know, I've seen that, you know, the person, like the neighbors when they're doing the different generations of De Niro. And I know the Pesci... You know, I know why that's such an acclaimed performance. I just had never seen it in its entirety, and it's so good. And yes, that painting that you have makes more sense now, as far as
this dog's looking this way and this dog's looking the other way. And by the way, that's Martin Scorsese's mom.
Right. It's just not crazy that it's his actual mother that's doing that. So, but my confessional, we talked a little bit about the Zack Snyder movie Army of the Dead coming out. So zombies. I don't do zombies. I don't do Middle Earth. I don't do hobbits. I don't really do that much deep science fiction. And I don't do apocalyptic crap like zombies. I have never seen one episode of The Walking Dead. I've never seen anything. I know that there's some guy named Deegan or something. I know that there's a hilarious sketch with Dave Chappelle as Tyrone at The Walking Dead on Saturday Night Live. That's it. I don't know anything about it, and I don't want to know anything about it. I don't like zombies. I don't think they're... I don't get the fascination with it. I don't like that there was a zombie burger restaurant in Iowa that has a burger called The Walking Ched, which people think is great. It's gross. It's macaroni and cheese bun on a bunch of cheddar, unsalted cheese. And I'm sorry if I'm offending people. I don't like zombies. I'm not going to watch The Walking Dead. So that's my confession. But I will beat people up if they try to come at me about why I need to watch zombie movies, because it's stupid. Stupid. Well, if I have to see another Jeep Wrangler go by me with some zombie apocalypse sticker on it, I'm a blown up this building, to quote 40-year-old virgin. Sorry, that's a very angry take, but I don't do zombies. I think it's dumb, so I'm not going to watch Army of the Dead, and I'm not going to watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that you haven't seen Dawn of the Dead from 2004, which was directed by Zack Snyder.
No, but I think I've seen, like, Night of the Living Dead, like, from the 80s. I think that was my only introduction, really, to the zombie. And Shaun of the Dead. I have also seen Shaun, which is good.
It's great.
Because it's a comedy. I don't mind zombies if they, like, Zombieland. I've seen that, and I don't mind it. Because it is what it is. This whole serious zombie virus crap that people kind of believe could really happen, it's stupid, and I don't want to give it any money if I don't have to.
I think there's been some really compelling moments with, like, The Walking Dead, but then I also am the same person that's going to tell you, I could give you the synopsis. This Walking Dead season, they're stuck at a farmhouse. This Walking Dead season, they're stuck at a jail.
Right.
This Walking Dead season, they're stuck in a neighborhood. And then Negan shows up, and there's a lot of Jeffrey Dean Morgan incredible moments, but then it just becomes, you know, and again, I don't want to get the hate mail, but I think
I would love the hate mail, because that means people are listening. Send us the hate and like and subscribe and give us comments.
I think people are disappointed in how The Walking Dead, like, where it's at, where it's gone.
Is it still going? Are there new episodes still?
I think so. Even my wife jumped ship, and she was full into it. And then, like, Rick's character died and all that.
Yeah, so, I don't need to know. Right, I'm not going to watch it. That's my confession.
All right. My confession, in the same vein, is the great Martin Scorsese. I realized... that I haven't seen Raging Bull, which is disappointing to myself. I love Robert De Niro. I love Martin Scorsese. We both, as Joel mentioned, enjoy listening to the Rewatchables podcast. They did Goodfellas, and it got me thinking, wow, this whole time I've been faking it. Not that Raging Bull comes up that often. And again, like Joel said, there's points and quotes from Raging Bull that I feel like I could pull out just from pop culture. But I have not seen Raging Bull in its entirety. That is my confession.
It's so good. It is one of my rewatchable movies that I can watch over and over and over again, which is... I don't want the listeners to think I'm like this angry man who... Because De Niro's a bad guy. Jake LaMotta, not a good dude. Like,
sure.
Domestic abuser. Just, it was bad. It's a tough hang in 2021. I mean, and it just is what it is. I watch it when I'm working out. Like, I'll put it on when I'm on the treadmill. And so maybe I need to put it on more because I need to be on the treadmill a little bit more. But there's something about it. I don't know. As a former athlete, it kind of checks some boxes for me to watch it. Kind of keeps the blood flowing. So it's a good one. I think it's definitely on HBO Max. I think you could watch it.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have to check that out. All right. We're going to quickly go through our dress socks and Crocs, some parenting and life wins and losses, and things that make us laugh. Just like Slappy Pappy makes us laugh a lot.
Slappy Pappy. Wait.
Dress socks and Crocs.
Did you find your Crocs?
I'm wearing them right now.
Okay. Thank God.
I did. I thought my dress socks and Crocs parenting life moments is just unboxing. We moved on May 14th and it went well. I can't complain, but it's just like I was telling Joel before we started the show, there's things that I purposely tried to leave out that I need to do this podcast that I'm happy that I did. And then there's other things like today, I was selling a couch on Facebook because that's what you do in your 30s. And somebody was asking me for the dimensions and I don't know where my tape measure is. I have no idea. It's somewhere. So we're going to be doing this game called What's in the Box. It's not Gwyneth Paltrow's head. It's probably going to be the missing items that you move and you just don't know where they are. So my life is a series of kind of unboxing videos.
Have you used the measuring function on your iPhone? It works pretty slick if you need to really measure something at a pinch.
I basically told the person, like, it's a sectional, it's big. Those are the measurements. But you're right, I should have used that. So my life, I don't want to say it's boring, but it's a series of unboxing and trying to pick up small pieces of Legos and not get mad at my kids because they're kids. But it's a little frustrating, I'll be honest.
I for once have really kind of an uplifting dress socks and Crocs. It's not a nice. Huge screw up on my part. We had the whole crew over, I think we had 20 people here, vaccinated folks, family, because my daughter received her first Holy Communion in the Catholic Church last weekend. And so we did that. And I, for the first time in my life, I'm an avid smoker of food, but I smoked a fresh ham and a pork shoulder that were easily the best pieces of food I have ever cooked in my entire life. Like, everyone was raving about this food, and it gave me hope that maybe someday I could just quit my job and cook professionally if I really wanted to, which there's no way I'll ever do that. But that's the dream, and it gave me some confidence again to get back out there and do some cooking. Next thing I'm going to try, though, is some chickpea flour pizza crust and go with like a nice little low-carb pizza crust in my wood-fire pizza oven that I have. So that's...
Inquiring minds want to know, did you slap the ham after you smoked it, or did you just serve it?
I did not slap it. It did have a nice little jiggle to it, though. So had I slapped it, there would have been some movement.
Same. I don't know if there is...
we've got to get the quote from Just Friends, from the mom.
Say, what ham did you slap?
Not my ham for Christmas.
If you haven't seen Just Friends, you need to watch that. Well, that's awesome. I admittedly don't have a smoker.
We've got to get you on the train. We got to get you.
I just feel like I'm really impatient. Like, the idea of smoking something that I have to pay attention. Like, I'm the kind of guy that, like, if I'm grilling, I'm like,
you're
I'm
a flipper, ripping, aren't you? You like, flip multiple times, don't you?
My grill is going to be at 500 degrees and it's like kiss done. Because you know how it is. Like, I don't have to, I got kids running all over the place. My wife,
but that's where, that's where
schedule,
but this is where smoking is actually probably better. If you can somehow wrangle in your ADD, You throw the big cut of meat on the smoker, 200 degrees, 225. Mm. You put it on. Your wife gets up at 2 a.m. to go to work. She turns the smoker on. You put the meat on. You go back to bed. She comes home at 3. You're on a Saturday or whatever. You've got a brisket ready to go or a big pork shoulder ready to go. And then you can freeze the rest and heat it up for leftovers if you wanted. So
I love it. Well, I'm not going to say that I won't try it, but I'm also not opposed to just like
letting me do it for you. Whatever. That'll work. Yeah,
I'm fine with that. All right. Listen, we're going to wrap up this week's episode of the Buffer Podcast. And just so y'all know, it was Those Who Wish Me Dead that is advancing, yes, which is available in theaters and on HBO Max with Angelina Jolie and John Bernthal.
Wrath of Man. I've heard that's good. One of my coworkers saw that, the new Jason Statham movie that's out. So
I love Jason Statham.
Is that Guy Ritchie? Yeah, I think Guy Ritchie directs it too. So
that's even better. I definitely want to see that. It's exciting. And we've got, obviously, each Friday new episodes of the Buffer Podcast for you. Maybe we time out the second baseball episode around the 4th of July. I don't know.
Maybe.
If that times out well.
Next week, are we doing race car movies since like Daytona 500 and Indy 500 and Memorial Day? Should we do like Rush versus, I don't know, there's got to be Days of Thunder. I don't know. There's got to be something.
I'd be okay with that. Yeah, I mean, it would be tough to do some of those new releases only because they will be coming out
right
Thursday night.
I'm going to be traveling too, so we may need to record earlier in the week.
So no, I think that's fine. So what we need you all to do.
We record this. This is not a live broadcast.
This is not live. But what we need you all to do is make sure that you rate, review, subscribe to the Buffer Podcast. But let me try that again. What we need you all to do, this is how you know it's not live, is rate and review and subscribe to the Buffer Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor.fm. Please give us those reviews and ratings. It'll help us out immensely because the goal is to get filthy rich off of this one day and retire from our normal jobs so that Joel can smoke and slap the ham. And then we can just bankroll
because we know what our real dream is. Prestige.
Let's say it at the same time. Worldwide.
Prestige worldwide. Yes. That's going to be our real estate company. Because we're just going to buy and sell and flip houses tax free.
My line of big and tall products that actually work. And by the way, it's just a quick plug for the Target Corporation. Ordered on a whim just some big and tall shirts because they were like $6.
Do we need to plug the Target Corporation? Are they a sponsor now?
I'm just saying, I picked up a couple big and tall shirts online and I'm impressed. So Target, if you're listening, have your people call our person and we can talk about a sponsor.
All right, our person?
Thanks for listening. Yeah, we have a person.
All right, perfect.
His name, Jeff. Thank you for listening to The Buffer and we'll see you next week right here, friends.
Bye-bye.